Can you hear me now? Well, good morning. And good morning to you, Lord. One of the things that I like to do and every time I start a sermon is to say good morning to the church and good morning to the Lord. So you'll hear me say that every week. And it comes from when I was doing my field study in seminary, and the priest that was in charge there said that. He said, good morning, Lord, and good morning, church, and good morning to you, Lord. And as a young, smart, not that young, seminarian, I thought it was a little bit hokey, but, you know. And then I was leaving church one Sunday, and this lovely woman pulled Jim aside, and she said, every time you say that, it grounds me in what we're about to do, that it is a good morning, and we are with the Lord, and we are with one another. And it took a whole new meaning to me, and so I've said it ever since. So I think that maybe Noah took it literally about in this morning's gospel to show up, but I haven't seen any arcs, so I think we're in good shape. Anyway, my name is Barbara Marks, and I am delighted to be here with you. I want to invite you to be in touch with me. My cell phone number is in the bulletin. I'm not seeing, I looked twice, didn't see a place for announcements, so I'm going to take a minute just for a couple of small ones. And the first one is that this coming Saturday is the consecration of our new bishop, and it's going to be quite the affair. It's at St. Paul's Baptist Church. We Episcopalians, we can do all kinds of fun things on Creighton Road in Richmond. And Mark is an amazing man, and he will be an amazing bishop, and I'm looking forward to welcoming him. So it's 11 o'clock. It's open to anyone who would like to come, and it's something you don't often get to see is, you know, the consecration of a bishop. So that would be fun. So far as being here, I would like to pick a day where I will be here so that if you just think, oh, I really need to go by and run this by Barbara, that you will know that I'm here. It's looking probably like it'll be Thursday mornings, but I'm available anytime by appointment. And I mean anytime, night, morning, middle of the night, if you need anything. And that's true with my cell phone as well. If you need me anytime, I'm available. No one thing, though. I love to text, but if you text me, it will not wake me up. If you want to call me when I'm sleeping, you need to call me, because that will wake me up. So, I want to offer at this time, does anybody have any questions for me before we start? If you do not right now, that's okay. I'll be sending out an email address as well. I don't think that was in the bulletin, but we'll send out an email address. And like I say, you can text me. That's my most, that's how I'm most readily available, is by text. This is a kind of a new experiment for me. So as I kind of move through it, I'm getting used to it. I'm getting better. I already had a glitch this morning. We had erased half of it, but fortunately, the downloaded one was still there. So maybe it should have stayed erased. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Yes, it's the first Sunday of Advent, and it is the new year, the new liturgical year of our church. We move from reading about what Luke has to say, into the readings of Matthew and what Matthew has to say. And there's a pretty sharp contrast, I think, in between what how Luke presents life with Jesus and how Matthew does. And we can talk more about that. If at any time you'd like to talk about the sermon or talk about the passage, just let me know. And if anybody wants to do any kind of Bible study, let me know that too. We can work out all kinds of fun things. As we go forward with the Advent readings, some of them are not easy. And this morning is one of those that's not particularly easy to read. At least it's not for me. There's this stark warning by Jesus to be prepared. To be prepared for the end time, to be prepared when the Son of Man will come again. We know that even today Jesus has not returned, but we also proclaim Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. So we know that that is sometime in the future. But what today's gospel reminds us is that we've got no idea when. Nobody does. Only God knows. So I have to kind of put that, all those people that say the end is near, into some sort of, into a perspective within this reading, even though there's hints of end times and all of that. Clearly, we don't know when it's going to be. So if anybody tells you that it's next Tuesday, you can rest assured that you can still plan on next Tuesday, at least, hopefully. Paul tells us to lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, to let us be honorable as in the day. We as disciples of Christ need to be just as vigilant today as the followers were of Paul and the followers who heard Matthew's words were. Now, I could spend a lot of time investigating, and actually I have spent a lot of time investigating, the whole idea of the rapture. And there's a lot of people who have it down to a science. I mean, you know, what the rapture was, and the Left Behind books are really fascinating about what these, you know, I haven't read them, but I know they are because people tell me they are. About what happens after the rapture and what happens to these people who are left behind. The thing of it is that whatever is happening even in this parable is not a sign that Jesus is about to show up. Like I said already, that no one but God knows when that time will be. To speculate on that is kind of a waste of our time. What we should be spending our time on is doing, on our time doing, is preparing ourselves and being in a ready state, armored with the light of God. Now, there's much discussion, again, about the rapture and these two men, one of who is taken up and one who is left behind, and women, one who is taken up and one who is left behind. But that is not necessarily a description of what's going to happen. When we think about what's going to happen in end times, we need to prepare ourselves by looking towards something that we do know. And that something is the cross. The cross and the resurrection. That's what we do know. And in that, with that vision, we need to try to spend time figuring out things that we can do. Not things that we can't do. Things that we know. Not things that we can't know. The cross and the resurrection lead us to ministering to the sick, the brokenhearted, and the suffering. Those are the things that Jesus calls us to do as disciples. In Matthew 25, there's a I'm going to share this with you further along than today's scripture. The final judgment is the title of the passage. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as shepherd separates sheep from goats, and will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." This passage where Jesus calls us to be the sheep who do these things for him and for the world kind of puts a different perspective on our reading today. It makes it a little bit clearer about what it is that Jesus calls us to do as his disciples. It makes it a little bit clearer who we are as Christians, at least it does for me. It makes it a little bit clearer what it means to take on the armor of God, the light of God, and then to take that armor fully clothed into the world and shine that light into the dark places that need hope. Amen. Please stand.